Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa. And today we're diving into part of the Bible that doesn't sound very cheerful at first. Ecclesiastes 2, where Solomon basically looks at life and says, I hated it.
That's right. He does say that. But hang with us, because at the end of the passage, there's this massive shift. And it's good news you can use in your job, your home, your classroom, wherever God has you working right now.
All right, so we're going to just dive right in.
Yeah.
Okay, in Ecclesiastes 2, Solomon says this, I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after the wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled, and use my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun.
Yeah, he used the word hated there, and I think it's interesting because when we think of hate, we like... It's more of how it's translated. It's more of, I feel defeated, rather than like maybe some of the versions of hate that we have. But this thing's just raw. Solomon looks at his work and he says, I hate it. And why? Because he knows that he's going to die someday and someone's going to take over and he has no control over what comes next. Like the thing that he's been working on for like 10 years. You know, he's like some knucklehead's going to come in and in 2 hours or 2 days or 2 weeks, whatever it takes, he's going to mess it up. And I've toiled under the sun. I've worked under the sun to make this happen.
Well, yeah, and he keeps going, right? In the next verse, he says, sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge, right, so smart and and skill, must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. And this also is vanity and a great evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about like, you know, for a while I taught college and group projects, you know, and you always have like the group members, like the one group member who does all the things and then three other group members who don't do anything. And then they're like, you know, the one group member is like, why does my grade have to suffer? Because they didn't do any work and I did my best. You know, that's like the idea that comes to me when I think about that. I work so hard and I have to leave it to, you know, Nimrod.
Nimrod. That means strength.
I know.
Actually, but it does sound like it sounds like a negative.
It does.
Yeah. It's like, you know, building your work is like almost like it's building your whole life. You're pouring your sweat, your tears, your labor into it. And then watching someone else who didn't earn it or learn it just take over and says, and Solomon says, man, this is a great evil. Like, this is bad.
Yeah. And he's like, what has the man from all of this work and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? Like, this is just, it's not getting any happier.
No.
For all his days are full of sorrow and his work is a vexation. We like that word. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. So he's having sleepless nights. He's super sad. He's depressed. This also is vanity. Whew. I really like that word vexation, though. It's sleepless nights, anxious toil. Ugh.
Yeah, just deep frustration, right?
Yeah.
And that's where he's at. And the kicker is that Solomon, he wasn't a nobody. Like, he was the king. He had more resources, more influence. He brought, actually, peace to the Middle East. Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. He brought peace to Israel, which when has that ever happened, right?
Right.
And yet his work still felt empty. Mm-hmm. What does that say about ours? We're not kings. We don't have that much influence. We don't have that much resources to solve all of these problems. What does that say about our work, our toil, when we look at it just under the sun?
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe it tells us that we're trying to make something of it that it isn't, right? Like we have some broken understandings of what it means to work under the sun and that sometimes we try to add a lot of meaning where there can't be if we're under the sun without God.
Yeah, he's trying to make a meaning maker.
Meaning maker, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
What did Ross say?
Yeah, a moist maker.
Moist maker. Yeah, that was a sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And about too. He's trying to make this picture of it really being the meaning or the purpose of life. And he's saying, hey, it can't be the meaning. It can't be the purpose. It can't actually satisfy me. Solomon hoped for really legacy, but he saw how quickly that could vanish. It's almost like, you ever build a sandcastle mm-hmm. on the beach with your kids?
Yeah.
If the whole purpose of that was just to, you know, build the most beautiful, exquisite, wonderful sandcastle, it would be silliness, right?
Right, because it's done like by 20 minutes later.
The tide comes in, it's gone. And so the hours of effort, people may admire it for a moment, but then the tide comes in and it's gone. That is what work is like. When we demand it to give us the ultimate meaning, when we demand it to satisfy us, when we demand it to be something that it was never intended to be.
Yeah, you think we do that?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know how you have a workaholic without that.
Right.
Right? Like, and I think there are people that are workaholics, right?
Perhaps.
Yeah. And so I think that it comes in different forms of that. And I think what's interesting is if you look at generationally, my dad and maybe your dad too, but he switched jobs a few times. But my dad, like, he worked same place for a very, very long time, mm-hmm. right? And they were kind of dedicated to that. They just went, they earned money, they did their thing. And then you have my generation. I think you're in the generation under me, mm-hmm. or are you in the same generation?
You like to tell me that. I could be in either.
Okay. It's just a gray area, is it? Yeah. Gen X. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have it begrudgingly. We go to work, right? But it's not the same as our parents. There's not the same loyalty. And then you have the millennial generation where it's like, especially the latter end of it, there's just this concept of like they're always looking to, I don't know if they're looking for meaning. They just know it won't satisfy. So they jump jobs. And so, like, you know, this is how I picture it. Like, two dudes are sitting around. They're like, oh, yeah, I made it 2 years at my job. And the other one's like, whoa. Did they give you, like, a watch or something?
Yeah.
But it's really their understanding that it can't provide meaning. And yet they're going, okay, well, it provides something. And so they keep jumping, trying to get satisfied. The other ones, maybe they think it is their identity or it brings meaning or it brings that. But then, you know, you see in that boomer generation, really them retiring and them going, oh, what's next?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So we have the tendency to make too much, right? Try to make work our meaning maker. But then there's the other side, right, too, where we can get to the point where it's just meaningless, right? Like, it's just a paycheck and we just show up and, you know, it's not, you know, at the end we don't, we're not great workers then.
Yeah, we're just scraping by. We're just kind of doing that.
Complaining about everything.
Yeah, there was this really interesting conversation when I was doing my graduate work with one of my friends, and he worked at like UPS. And, you know, his job was put the boxes on the truck. And you know what he did the next day? Put the boxes on the truck, right? Like, it was just, that was his job. And he hated it. And he would complain about it. And he, you know, for a while he said, well, it's kind of okay exercise, which I'm sure it was. But then he got to this place where it was just like drudgery to go to work. And then about like 3 weeks later, we had coffee together and he seemed different. And I just asked him, like, what changed, man? Did you get a new job? And he goes, no, I didn't get a new job. I was looking at this package that I was putting on there and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was some type of apparatus for somebody who had a disability. And he was putting it on the truck so the truck driver could deliver it to him. And he goes, you know, they wouldn't have that without me, without me in the process. And so each one of those boxes represents something of a process for somebody getting something they need. And he recognized that some of the stuff is just, you know, your ninth Amazon Prime box coming in. But he goes, even that, like, I'm doing a service for other people. And it really changed the meaning of his work. It turned into him serving or worshiping God through the service that he was doing.
Yeah, and I think that when you have either one, right, the meaning maker or the meaninglessness, you get, it's pretty wonky. I mean, that's a pretty despairing place to be, because you're not going to find your identity in your work. You're not going to find meaning there. And to just be doing something that you perceive as meaningless every single day is also...
It's vexation. It's,
there you go. That's the word, right? And Genesis 3 actually explains why work feels this way, right? That it's frustrating. It doesn't, no day is going to be a perfect day, right? You know, it says, how does it go? Genesis 3, they're cursed to hard work, right? Originally, they're in the garden working, but then after the fall, after they make the choice that they do and ruin it all for everybody, right? God comes and now work comes with thorns and thistles and hardship that did not exist before. And so it's meaningful, but it's cursed.
Yeah, and I think everyone can relate to getting a little owie at work, sure. A little frustration.
Can coworkers be thorns and thistles?
I know that to be true. But I think that's why Tim Keller and his words are really helpful. He said, just because you cannot realize your highest aspirations in work, so it's not fulfilling, it does not mean that you've chosen wrongly or are not called. You should expect to be regularly frustrated, vexation, in your work, even though you may be exactly in the right vocation.
So the frustration doesn't mean that you're in the wrong job. It actually means that you're human and living in a fallen world.
Yeah. Yep.
So then Solomon goes on, and this is where I think we see some hope in the chapter, right? At least it's the first hope of the book, actually. He says, there's nothing better for a person than he should eat, drink, and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting. Only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and striving after the wind. When I read the business of gathering and collecting, I thought of like Neanderthal hunter-gatherers.
Me get.
Right, I get my.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting shift though.
Yeah.
And when he says, for apart from him who can eat or drink or have enjoyment. And it switches to this picture that our work is still meaningful, but it provides us something and has been given to us by someone named God. And so that same toil suddenly becomes something different because God is in the picture, and it's actually not it is still part of the curse, but it's also a gift of grace that it provides for us, that we can find enjoyment in it, that it can provide things that we enjoy, but it isn't the meaning maker. And but it can bring joy in our life if we look at it, I think, as Tim Keller said, a vocation instead of just a job.
Well, yeah, and apart from him, there's like no enjoyment. With him, there is wisdom and knowledge and joy. The work doesn't really change, but the perspective does, you know? Like a couple of weeks ago, I actually had a conversation with a friend who was, you know, highlighting the fact that it seemed that I maybe was vexed a lot and was dealing with some resentments. And this friend said to me, like, I was like, what do I do about that? And they said, you know, enjoy the life that you have. And I know that we've been like thinking through Ecclesiastes, but that's probably, I have been thinking about that at least 3 weeks now. And to the degree that I give thanks for the job that I have, and that's not necessarily here at the church, but actually as it relates to my parenting, there's a different understanding that I have towards my vocation as a mom, like towards the calling, like to enjoy what it is that God has given me, the children that he has given me, is a very different way of understanding it, rather than being like trying to find meaning in it, or seeing that maybe it is, feeling like it is meaningless.
Yeah, and I think that's the plight of everyone, though, right? And I think you make a good point of, like, it doesn't matter if you're a mom, a stay-at-home mom, you may feel underappreciated, you may feel like it's not doing what it's supposed to do, it's not fulfilling you in the way it should. Doesn't matter if you're a CEO of a company or if you are retired. Like, all the retired dudes that I talk to are always like, we're more busy now. We're busy now than we were. And they have flexibility, but they have still busyness because work never goes away. It was last winter, my kids and I were sitting around and the snow was coming down. It was coming down hard and the wind was howling, kind of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, type of a day. And do you know what my kids were doing?
Yeah, I do. Snow day calculator.
Yeah, they're looking on the snow day predictor, right? And they show me 99%, and they ask me if they can stay up just a little bit longer. And I said, sure. And they start hooting and hollering, and we're high-fiving and, you know, laughing about the possibility, because I had actually looked at the Weather Channel and knew it wasn't going to quit, according to them, until after 1 p.m., so there was no way that they were going to be able to get the things plowed and keep them plowed for them to come. And my wife comes out and she's like, what are you guys hooting and hollering about? And I go, oh, they're, and one of the kids, I think, said, oh, we're going to get a snow day tomorrow. Dad said we can stay up a little bit later. And she looks at me and she goes, what are you hooting and hollering about? Because the reality is that I wasn't getting a snow day. I can put it in four-wheel drive and I can still come to work. And that I think I was excited for them because it's like one of those only times where work doesn't happen. I think everybody has work, right? Everybody has this toil that they have to do. And he's moving out of this. And I think this is why Paul in Colossians 3:23 says, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You are serving the Lord Christ. And I think that perspective changes everything. It's not the meaning maker. It's not meaningless, but work all of a sudden becomes a vocation. It becomes a calling from God that I'm going to do whatever I do, whether it's sweep a floor, be a mom at home, whatever that job may be, a CEO of a company, I'm going to do it unto the Lord and not unto men.
Yeah, so, I mean, what do you think that looks like tomorrow morning?
I think stay-at-home mom folding laundry is worship. I think the retiree volunteering and loving grandkids, vocation. In business, integrity, worship. Student, homework, it's stewardship, it is worship, it is vocation.
Yeah, so we're not just going to work. We can consider ourselves sent to work or called to work by God. That's a very different way of thinking about work.
So here's the summary. Work under the sun will always end in vexation. Work unto the Lord becomes a vocation.
Well, yeah, and Colossians 3, let's just remind ourselves of that again. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. You're serving the Lord Christ.
Yeah, you're not just working, you're worshiping, and worship is never wasted. And that's good news. You can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You could email those to office@evangelup.org. And if you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, you can just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.